Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
He's really interesting as well, but I think
Brandon Clark was another one too. I thought I didn't know that would pop up here because I know he was hitting. I think there might be some relief in there.
He hit 100 a few times for me. Yeah. It's a big slider. I have no idea on the strikes. Not a ton of track record, JUCO guy. He might be a slower burn. Definitely a name to keep in mind.
Is that our Luis Medina? That's our Luis Medina.
Yeah, that might be more Medina. He's a lefty, though. That's up to.
But I'm saying the big fastball command.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Valera, though, is going to be the guy. If he's a name that's kind of out there in leagues where there's 200 or so prospects rostered and you're willing to take on a pitching prospect, particularly in like head-to-head formats or points formats, I think Valera is definitely worth a flyer and going and grabbing him now, because I think you just look at the numbers last year. He was really productive, even in his short tenure, those seven starts in low A. He's going to return to that. He's 18 until May. He's still really young. He's already very physical, already has the stuff, has some pitchability. And I think that stuff's only going to improve and get better. So as long as he stays healthy, I think this is going to be a guy that's on like every top 100 list by the end of next season.
I love it. And that's not, and no homer in there either. I mean, Red Sox, we get it, but there are some big Red Sox, a little piratey right now with the development of the pitching, what they're doing. And they've had it robust. I mean, also think if they still had like Winkelmann, they trade him to the White Sox, like that system would just be loaded with.
Yeah, or a healthy Perales,
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. All right. So Valera, top 100 prospect. We've got Connor Griffin, number one hitting prospect. Those are some pretty great bold predictions, my friend. You guys can check out all of the other predictions and ranks and incredible work over at Baseball America with Jeff and the team. Jeff, you're off the hot seat for the bold predictions. We'll check back on those next year. Appreciate your time, my friend.
Thanks a lot, man.
Prospect one.
RotoWire's James Anderson. Bold predictions. Who else than James Anderson? We're going to get a hitter. We're going to get a pitcher. And we're going to see how bold we can go. And, how right? I don't know. I was talking to Jeff about this, James. It's tough because it's like when you singularly hone in on like a hitter and then a pitcher and you want to go bold, we get big hits and big misses on these sometimes because we are like really, really focusing in. I've had some big misses on those, the Luis Medinas of the world, as I had mentioned to Jeff. But let's get into it. Let's talk about what you got going down, hitters and pitchers. By the way, more than anything else, how about trying to finalize the top 400 prospects or 500 prospects that you do over on RotoWire going into the start of the season? And then knowing that you're going to just trash all of it in like weeks as the season starts and you start having to react to the actual season.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun finishing the most recent update to the top 400. I put that up on Friday, so that's less than a week old. Feels like a more complete top 400 than the January one, but you're also, like you said, you're kind of trying to factor in some small sample stuff that's happened in the last few weeks. So yeah, it'll be back to the drawing board in a couple months for that next update, but feels great to have it fresh and in the books and mostly still relevant.
Yeah, exactly. And we get to actually react to some real like counting minor league stuff where AAA is starting. We'll get the lower levels. Rookie ball starts sooner than ever. It's like a month after the season starts. So we'll have a lot of like in-season reactions and to see where our ranks and our bold predictions actually take place in here. So let's kick into it. Let's not waste any time. James, we will start with the pitcher for you. So bold prediction, starting pitching prospect for 2025, be it statistical, be it rank, however you want to approach the bold prediction. Who is it and what's the prediction?
So my prediction is that Grant Taylor of the White Sox finishes the year as a top 25 prospect and a top five pitching prospect.
All right, let's break it down. That is very bold as well. I love Grant Taylor. I've seen him for a long time. Went to quite a bit of White Sox camp earlier this year. He's always funny. He's always got the football with him, taken to the backfields. But why that really stands out as well, if people are not piecing that together, you have Noah Schultz and you have got Hagen Smith. So I'm curious. I want to hear the breakdown of what gets us there with Grant Taylor. And is this at all an assumption that both Hagen and Noah Schultz have graduated, or are they still a part of that? Because that is a very, very good, bold take on Grant Taylor.
Yeah, I think Schultz will have graduated. I don't think Hagen Smith will have graduated. So, you know, some combination of like Hagen Smith, Chase Burns, Thomas White, Travis Sikora. I think Grant Taylor beats out like two of those five to be a top three pitching prospect. So it could be him and Hagen Smith and Chase Burns or something like that. But, you know, it's not, I have a couple comps for Taylor, but they're not pitcher comps. They're more pitching prospect, like where they were ranked, how quickly they ascended type of comps.
Okay.
And he reminds me a lot of back in 2017, Jesus Luzardo and Walker Buehler. They're both coming back from like they're heading into their first full season back from Tommy John surgery, but they've already put up really impressive tiny sample numbers down. But the price is still low because they've barely pitched. And then that year they both ascend to, you know, become elite pitching prospects because they're healthy. They're ready to get stretched out. So I think Grant Taylor, this is the year that he could do that. He's got all the pitches. He's done nothing but throw enough strikes in these small samples. So it's just a matter of him staying healthy and stacking innings. And I think just the type of player the type of pitcher he is, the age, where he's at in his development, like I think he could move really quickly to the upper levels of the minors.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that too, because he has spent so much time at the complex with the injuries and just kind of revamping that I do think they would push this. It's also the White Sox, it would behoove them. You know, the future of that rotation is Schultz, Smith, and Grant Taylor, and getting all of those guys kind of around the same time to develop together is interesting. Big power fastball. Wouldn't be surprised this year and how aggressive they, you know, coming back from injury, they're pressing everything. Grant Taylor, top, what'd you say? Top five SP, top 25 overall prospect.
Yes, sir.
I love it. I want to start like, but I mean, you kind of already did it. I wanted to be like, all right, this guy or this guy, but you've already kind of gone there. Let me see if I can get one. Okay. Thomas Harrington. Well, Thomas Harrington's going to be graduated, but Thomas Harrington or Grant Taylor just for S's and G's.
Yeah. I mean, I've got Harrington ranked about 25 spots ahead of Taylor right now. I do think Harrington will graduate in the next 2 to 3 months, probably. But they're very different types of pitchers. I can picture a lot of my readers and subscribers wanting Taylor over Harrington because all they care about is upside. So like, if that's you, if all you care about is upside, Grant Taylor over Harrington. I think Harrington's a fantastic pitching prospect and he's basically ready. So that would be a nod in his favor. But yeah, I could see if all you're about is hunting aces, hunting, you know, big time prospects that you can then flip for something, Grant Taylor would be the guy to have.
Yeah. And yeah, the other last thing on this, what's interesting is like the top end, I'm just looking at like my ranks of pitchers. They all could be off. Like I'm looking at like my top, like six or seven. And it's, you kind of said it before, you said Chase Burns is in theory, would be my number one pitching prospect, maybe halfway through the year. All these guys, you know, from the Bubba Chandlers and the Schultz, and Painter's a little difficult because they're not going to let him go. But by the end of the season, it's like my top five SPs, they're going to be off that list. And then there's some guys in the middle of there, you know, you got Quinn Matthews and stuff, they could be gone. So it really is this open forum of like, I have the same thing. It'd be like Burns, Hagen, Sikora, and then you'd have to move further down, maybe Thomas White. Like, it's kind of an open platform for SPs to jump up. And Grant Taylor's a great pick for that. So,
well, thanks.
I like that one.
Hopefully he stays healthy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And I like that you attached to top five SP, top 25. Let's talk about the hitter, though. So your bold prediction hitter.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
2025 name and what realm we're going to move to.
Okay, yeah. So I think I've always struggled more with the hitters than the pitchers for this exercise over the years, just because I think it's really hard for a hitting prospect to be like sneaky. It's tough for them to be undervalued. But I think Ryan Waldschmidt of the Diamondbacks, I've got him as sort of, you know, he's inside my top 100 right now, but he's just inside. I think he finishes the year as a top 25 prospect, doesn't graduate, doesn't get to the big leagues, but has a fantastic year. Probably, you know, starts at high A, maybe spends the bulk of the year at double A, and is looking like, you know, someone kind of in the Seiya Suzuki type of mold where, you know, it's not 30 steals. It's not 30 homers, but you know, he could go 25 homers, 20 steals, something like that. Good average, good OBP. So not a guy who's going to be like a top five prospect or a top 10 prospect, I don't think, but I think Ryan Waldschmidt will finish the year as a top 25 prospect.
And that would, it's not hard to do, but that would in theory vault him to being the number one overall Diamondbacks prospect, because we would assume Jordan Lawler, year three is the time, I guess, to we'll get him off and he'll graduate and be done. And then you're just kind of vying for with the Diamondbacks. It's just a bunch of outfielders. It's, you know, where does Slade Caldwell? I'm obviously a big Slade guy. Where does Drew Jones develop? Dimitrio Crisantis is kind of interesting, but it's kind of like this open space. So this would make him the number one Arizona Diamondbacks prospect. Let me throw a couple names at you then. By at the end of this season, Ryan Waldschmidt or Jason Chirio?
Yeah, I mean, those guys can both go sort of as high as they want based on how they perform this year. I wouldn't put like a ceiling on either guy.
Sure.
But I think Waldschmidt will have a more prolific season and just kind of force his way past Chirio. But, you know, we're still, any of these years could be the year that Chirio hits another level as a power hitter. And if that ever happens, he's just going to skyrocket up the ranking.
Yeah. One of the things also as a college bat has working for Ryan Waldschmidt. All right. We'll do one more. And this is a fun one. End of season, Ryan Waldschmidt or Charlie Condon?
Well,
I just wanted to hear you say it. I knew it was going to be there. I just wanted to hear you say it. Charlie with the injuries is already kind of hurt. If you were doing a first year, well, I guess you kind of answered that. If you were doing a first year player, like this moment, should you take Waldschmidt over Condon, or would you try to risk like thinking Waldschmidt could come back?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Waldschmidt about eight spots ahead of Condon right now. So, I would take Waldschmidt, and I would not really worry about Condon. I would assume he'd probably already be gone, but hopefully I could just get Waldschmidt out of that.
I love it. What did we say? Top 25 prospect, did you say?
Yep.
I love it. You're speaking to my heart, a man of my heart with the Arizona Diamondbacks bold prediction. Always James Anderson, the best out there. Find him over on RotoWire. Top 400 prospect update is already out there. In-season stuff is going to be going. And then when's the plan for the 400 update over on RotoWire for you? You said a couple months. Is it like, what's the typical? Is it like end of May, like the beginning of June?
I try to get it done before Memorial Day weekend, because I always go up with my family to my my parents for Memorial Day weekend. So I want to get it done before we leave town. So yeah, late.
I was about to say, like, oh, wait, are you go to see your parents? And you're like, I'm going to work on the top 400 while I'm here so I don't have to interact. Some people would want to have that. You're a good guy and spending time with the family. Hopefully you'll be spending some time with me this year on Prospect One as always. James, my bestie, thank you so much. Great bold predictions. And we'll talk to you next time right here on P1.
Thanks, buddy.
Prospect One.
He is Tim Kanak, fantasy ace ball, back in the house to talk about some bold predictions. Here is a bold prediction for everybody to think about. Will his pitcher or hitter be a Cardinal? That's the big key to test here. Tim, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I purposefully avoided that. So I made the little swoopy curve away from the team bias thing.
I kind of try to do the same thing. Like, you know, you're tempted to. I'll do the same thing with the Diamondbacks. If I'm like heavily convicted into it, I'll lay in. But if I'm like, you know, I really like this guy, blah, 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 I'll try to do the same thing. It's the same thing in like redraft fantasy baseball. If I cannot talk about like Brandon Pfaadt or Corbin Carroll, I try not to because people are like, here we go again. And try to avoid that. But we are continuing the series. Another great analyst, Tim Kanak, with a bold prediction on a hitter and a pitcher. I've told you, you're given the floor to either put some statistical side to this, or you can do ranks, as people have been kind of going with the ranks. So, Tim, let's jump right in. I'm going to let you choose hitter or pitcher that you want to start with. Bold prediction for 2025 for this prospect. Who it is, why, and what realm of that bold prediction are we talking about?
All right. So we're starting off with a hitter. And I think that people, based on when we did the P1 ADPs, have been sleeping on this guy a little bit, especially for the ridiculous statistics that he put up. But I'm going with Cole Kerrig, and I'm going to see that Cole Kerrig finishes the season as a top 20 prospect. And I mean, the dude already had 17 bombs. 53 steals last year, former catcher. So he had catcher eligibility. The Rockies have already come out and said that he is going to be playing outfield and shortstop this year. I think that he climbs the ranks. And if he starts doing this, you know, 1750, if he goes 2050, which I think he can do, and he's an older dude, you know, he's 23, but if he can go 2050 at double A, then everyone is going to finally pay attention to him. And the thing is, Rockies prospects, right? Like, I feel like everyone is so sick of Rockies prospects right now. We had Zach Veen is the next great thing. We have Charlie Condon hurt. So there's almost like everyone is just sick of Rockies prospects, sweeps them to the side. But Cole Kerrig is the one to watch here. I think that his hit tool and his athleticism is superior to Zach Veen. So if you want like the better Zach Veen, then you want to go Cole Kerrig here. Right. And plus, you're going to get the shortstop eligibility. Plus, he's a switch hitter. I think that he could be Jarren Duran on the Rockies as a fantasy contributor for your team. So Cole Kerrig, I think, top 20 prospect. And that's not bold. I'm going to say top 15 prospect by the end of the year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league...
Okay. I'm down with that. I'm down with that. Yeah, here his 151 career games across two seasons. He's put up 22 homers, 66 stolen bases, and hit .299. That's on a full, like, essentially a full major league season. The thing he has working against him the most is whatever's going on in his head. I talked about this at last year that he was... I have some of the details that I'm not going to say, but I have like all of it. But essentially, he was sent down to the rookie level. He was sent down because of some, let's just call it maturity stuff. There were some maturity things, and he was sent down while he was killing it last season. Like it wasn't like, oh man, he's really struggling. No, he had homers, stolen bases. He had some absurd numbers. And I think there was some maturity stuff, and they sent him down for four games down in rookie ball to get right, which, you know, he continued doing. But regardless of all of it, to your point, he just keeps going. And I've been talking about Cole Kerrick since day one because he came out with their little crew out here to rookie ball in 2023. It was him. It was Kyle Karros. And man, I'm forgetting the other person that was out here. All of these guys were out here and Cole Kerrick shined. He caught for like a week. He played in the outfield. He can play in the infield. He is a true across the field guy. And I completely agree that long term, as long as like Cole Kerrick's head doesn't get too, I mean, Zach Veen isn't exactly the most like, you know, level headed guy either with some stuff, but Cole Kerrick is like the total package of a prospect. So yeah, I'm kind of with you on, I'm with you on the talent level. And you said like he could do 20, he essentially was 20-50 last year. He had 17 homers, 53 stolen bases. He just did it at lower levels, which you're alluding to. So if he repeats it, we're going to be on like another level with a guy like Cole Kerrick. So yeah, this is a really hard one because Rockies, I think, brings people down a little bit. If you know about the maturity issues, that brings it down. And I think people are waiting for a kid that is, by the way, going to turn 23 and be in double A at the beginning of the season. I think they want a little bit more out of it, but I don't think from a fantasy perspective, this is completely out of pocket. So I'm down with you going top 15, Tim.
Yeah. He also has the defensive aspect too, because apparently he can throw 102 miles per hour. So if you think Mason Wynn has an arm, if this guy plays shortstop or, you know, center field and he's throwing 102 mile per hour rockets, that is amazing. He is going to play. It's like a Rafael. It's like the said Rafaela aspect almost, where it's like, it's okay if you strike out a few times, you know, like as long as you give us that baller defense and you're also bringing power and speed to the table at the same time, we'll take it. And that is valuable for fantasy because if you are that good defensively, that means that that team is not going to platoon you and you're going to be in that lineup.
Yeah. And he did that. It was the MLB draft combine in 23, I believe it was. I wasn't there that day because I did go to that. I think it was that one. Or maybe it was 2022, but he threw 101 at from shortstop, and he got the Mason Wynn comparisons as a guy that can throw like 100 from there. So it's an all around crazy tool set for a guy that is not on a lot of radars. And I have him as a top 100. I don't know where other people have been at with him, to be honest with you, but that's a really interesting one. So top 15 at the end of the year, Cole Kerrick. All right, let's move to the pitching side here. Bold prediction for one prospect starting pitcher or pitcher for 2025. You know the drill. Who do we got?
I have Connor Prelip. I think that Connor Prelip by the end of the season, I think he's going to be in the majors, but by the end of the season. But second, I think that he is going to work his way up to being a top five starting pitcher prospect. Wow. So top five pitching prospect. He last year only pitched 23 and a third innings, but he was coming off of surgery. But he had a 37.4 K-minus walk rate, a ridiculous over 24% swinging strike rate, over 38% CSW during these innings. Big lefty, three-quarters arm slot. He was also pretty impressive this spring. I don't know if anyone caught any highlights of him this spring, yeah. But he's also very impressive this spring. Throws between 94 and 96, ridiculous slider, decent changeup. And like when I watch him, like, When I think of a comp for him, I put shades of Johan Santana in my prospect rankings when I did my rankings of him. And because he was hurt, he is not on anyone's radar. Like, this is a guy that you can pretty much pick up in any dynasty league, except for like if you have the sharpest people, just because he was hurt, he was not around. People talked about him being like the first overall pitcher before his injury and during the draft when he's going to get picked. People thought he's going to go number one. He got hurt. And then had Tommy John and internal brace surgery, I think. And now he's healthy and was killing it. So I am all aboard the Connor Prelip bandwagon. Plus, the Twins are very good at developing pitchers.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League.
Has to be at least three times bigger than this.
Really? Like, we have a nice track record of the Twins. You know, even like Simeon Woods Richardson is like an okay, like, you know, mid-rotation starter or whatever. The issue may be trying to find room for him, because their rotation is so good, but But if the Twins really are going to be cutting costs, like they could trade a Pablo Lopez and still find a way to fit in Zebby Matthews, David Festa, and Connor Prelip. Like they could trade some of those guys off, clear some cap room, you know, like clear some money off the table. And then all of a sudden you have room for these young guns to be in that rotation.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to say is like the problem is they just got too many guys that are floating out there. And that's not even like the, I guess those are kind of the now guys. Connor Prelip, kind of like in a Cole Carrig way. Only issue is, you know, age to level at this point, but it's missed time. Like you said, you know, the Tommy John that kind of brought him back. He only, I think he got to high A or was at high A. He's going to be 24 years old into this season. I guess he's 23 for the majority of the year. That they're just like, he's got to get tested a little bit more. But what I was saying is this entire organization, they've got Zebby and they got Festa that are above. They like Paddock right now. They've got Simeon Woods Richardson. They've got, and that's not counting the big three. You know, that's not counting Joe Ryan, Pablo, and Bailey. So if they consolidate, there's definitely some interesting stuff they can do. But the system is built pretty big. And if I remember with Connor Prelip, I remember watching him in college, that Prelip, some good spin numbers. It's a great slider. He's deceptive. He's just missed so much significant time. But, you know, he did get some innings last year. Big strikeouts, good results, had a pretty solid spring. I don't think we see him this year, even though age. I think he's got to build up. That's my big thing with him. It's like, I think they have to build up innings. And I'm not sure. Maybe things are different if they're in like a really close to competitive, like, you know, pennant race or something. But I feel like they're going to need to build him up for the year. And I kind of wouldn't be surprised, actually, if we saw Connor Prelip in the Arizona Fall League. I've mentioned this in one of the other interviews we did here. But like this might be a guy that, you know, they kind of, you know, pace those innings up, get him to the Fall League to build him up on a really big work schedule. So then you can push him next year. And then to your point, if the team struggles this year, guys like Prelip and Zebby Matthews are going to make it easier for them if they do want to consolidate and trade off like a Pablo Lopez or whatever. Let me ask you this. Connor Prelip or Tink Hens?
I'm going to go Tink Hens still. You got to hit my Cardinals bias here. I just, I have to go Tink Hens here. I think that Hens's ceiling is just so high. He needs to stay healthy. The thing is, like, Prelip now is healthy. So it's like, do you want to go with the guy that is like, okay, he had his surgery out of the way. Boom, 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 brush it away. Okay, we're good to go. Or you're going with the guy who's, like, consistently hurt with random things and, like, just can't stay on the field. So, like, I think that Hens has a really high ceiling because I think Tink Hens could be Dylan Cease, and Dylan Cease is really, really good. But... that's a close one. That's very close to me. I think, though, Prelip, the way to think about him, oh, you know, he was hurt. He's a little older. Quinn Matthews was the same age as Prelip now with zero innings pitched in the minors at this time last year.
Yeah, good
call. Prelip has already pitched in high A and has already had success. So he's almost like got a leg up on the Quinn Matthews of last year. So I think it's possible, even if, you know, Prelip can't break the rotation because they don't trade enough guys or whatever, I think it's possible that if the Twins are in it, they might bring him up just to pitch in the bullpen at the end of the season with an eye on him being a rotation piece in 2026.
So top five SP end of year. That's what we're saying?
Yeah.
It's a pretty big call. Top, what would that be, like top 25, 30? Depends how many pitchers you probably rank.
Yeah, probably 30, 35-ish. You know me, I like my pitchers. So I do expect, obviously, like guys like Jobe, Painter, Quinn Matthews, we already mentioned. Those guys are all going to be gone at that point. So it will be easier to move up with it.
With that, we talked about that earlier, too. That was another discussion of like the amount of pitchers that are going to come off. It really is like an open season for you know, the pitching market and who the top five and the top 10 are. So there you go. Cole Carrig and Connor Prelip, probably names you did not expect, but those are some good, bold predictions for 2025. Tim Kanak is off the hot seat. Can check him over at Ace Ball. Tim, thank you, brother. Great, bold predictions. We'll talk to you next time.
See you.
Prospect one.
How bold will he go? We're about to find out. It is Eric Cross from the Tool Shed. My boy, Eric Cross. Very good flow today too, by the way, watching on YouTube on the clip. We got it's a very, very good hair day. I have a lot of respect for the high swoop. I get a lot of flack for it, but I'm a big high swoop guy. Eric Cross in the house, my boy. We're talking about a pitcher and a hitter. You can find him over on the Twitters at Eric Cross, MILB. Cross, what's up, buddy?
Oh, not much, man. How are you doing?
I'm in 97 degree weather and you got snowed out yesterday. We were going to record yesterday and there was a snowstorm that took you away. It is almost 100 degrees already in Arizona.
Yeah, we had what we like to call false spring up here, where like, it's usually right around mid-March where you're like, oh, it's getting warmer out. You know, we're done with the snow. And Mother Nature's like, ha ha, joke's on you. Here's one last storm. And that was yesterday. So it wasn't like, you know, huge storm, but still just enough to be a pain in the butt and make things all slushy and nasty for a little bit.
Wouldn't it be called spring fall? Not fall spring, because it's spring, like fall in the spring.
Oh no, false. F-A-L-S-E.
Oh, false. Oh, so, false spring. Yeah, oh, okay.
You think spring's here and then winter's behind you, and then you get one last little hurrah with some snow.
That makes a lot more sense, my friend. All right. No more snow. Prospect time, hitters and pitchers. Let's start with a hitter for you. I think we've done quite a few of the pitching at the end. I don't know. I feel like everybody gets more excited. I get more excited about the hitting, to be honest with you. I feel like more people get way more excited about the pitching side of these bold predictions. But we'll see how bold you are willing to go. We have gone from number one overall prospect to guys that are in, you know, a lot of top 100s being inside the top five at their position. There's a lot of that fun stuff. So let's see. Eric Cross, your 2025 hitter bold prediction, the name, the reason why, and you know, where the prediction is going to take them.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Eduardo Beltre being a top 10 overall prospect for fantasy. I was already kind of high on him entering the offseason, but when I was going through my, you know, team by team ranking, so you could really, as you know, you could really start digging in a bit more. You know, data is all stagnant, nothing's changing. And when I was going through the twin system, I'm like, man, I like Beltre even a lot more than I thought I did. So it's a really high upside profile. You know, there's a big time power speed blend. He showed that off. You know, he's already hitting the ball really hard for his age. He's a good premium athlete as well. So like right now, you're looking at like a plus power speed guy. You know, hit tool. That's, you know, as you can say with a lot of the guys in the DSL and a lot of these toolsy, you know, 17, 18 year old prospects, the hit tool is the X factor. You know, where does that wind up? There's some concerns there. He had a 24% K rate in the DSL, which, you know, isn't terrible in general, but that is a little bit higher than you'd like to see from, you know, a top guy in the DSL. But he did walk at a good clip. You know, he had 11 home runs, 10 steals in just 43 games. So he's kind of showcasing all the skills there. And I think, you know, he's to come stateside, you know, come to the complex level this year. And I think you could really see him shoot up prospect rankings. I mean, I already have him back into my top 100. I think he's like 85 or so in my rankings. I think you could really see him shoot up even further, especially if he, you know, if he can keep that hit tool, you know, improving it, you know, get the contact rates up a little bit, keep that K rate in check as he gets, you know, a little bit, you know, tougher competition this year, and he hits for, you know, decent enough average while still showing that big power speed blend. And I think you'll see his stock really take off. So yeah, I'll say Eduardo Beltre, top 10 overall prospect.
I mean, this is huge. I would say, and be curious on any of the, you can do it on the podcast or any of the individual videos I, you know, put out on the In This League YouTube. Anyone could say like, who was the biggest one? I would have to probably say this is the biggest of the bold predictions here, especially, you know, because we had like Connor Griffin going number one overall. I think that's like a big move. Eduardo Beltre definitely is. But also, I think part of it is
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
The Dominican Winter League push to this high, into getting that high, is the tricky thing. I am gun shy because of Yasser Mercedes. I fell hard.
No, I hear you, dude. I do.
Hard on Yasser Mercedes in 2021. 30 stolen bases he had in 41 games in the Dominican Summer League. Dude hit 355. He had four homers. I mean, he showed off some extra base ability. I mean, I think 20 of his hits were extra base. And some of the data looked really good. His speed numbers clocked like ridiculously high. And he just tanked. He stole no bases. Now, last year actually was better. I just want to point out, we're not done. You know, 21 stolen bases, six homers, 292. But like, I went really hard. And it's not fair to just do that with a lot of guys. But this is a bigger power hitter. 11 homers, 10 stolen bases than Dominican Winter League. Dominican Summer League, I'm sorry. The worry would be is he's coming over also with those strikeout things. So like Dominican stats carrying over. A strikeout concern that's already there, the team and us seeing that, and maybe like, you know, Jesus Mane got a little bit different. I guess what I'm getting at is we're in a little bit different of a world where it seems like international and Dominican statistic seasons are getting less of an upside push than they've ever done before because we're all worried. You know, Eduardo Quintero with the Dodgers has been a rookie ball. Like, that guy could be a top 25 prospect, but people are holding back. Is there like a, like how did you get to the determination? Like, what do you see this season looking like for him to be a top 10? It's got to be a complete repeat. I guess it's just like a little bit more dig in here. Cause like, are you worried at all about from Yasser Mercedes to any of the Dominican translated high valued players working? And what does the stat line look like where he's a top 10 guy for you?
Yeah, I'll start by saying yes, I definitely am worried. I'm worried about every single one of these Dominican guys, to be honest with you. Even Jesus Mata, who's, I know his data is off the charts, and he feels like one of the safer ones, if that's even possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have the same concern about every single DSL breakout, because I was super in on Yasser Mercedes as well. And what was the one? It was a Brewers. I'm blanking on the name, like a few years ago.
Luis Pena here, but
no, before him. This year. I'm totally blanking on the name, but there's
Yofrey Rodriguez.
It might have been. There's been a handful.
Brewers push out a lot of them. There's a lot of one that comes to my mind was Christian Betancourt with Bryant Betancourt with the Rockies, but he was a little bit older. Oh, yeah. He had this like monster Dominican Summer League production, but he was different because he was like 19 or 20 at that level.
Yeah, yeah. I remember he had a ton of home runs that year, but that definitely is a concern. Like I said, 23.8% K rate. That's higher than usually you like to see from, the top DSL guys. So yeah, that's definitely, the X factor here, but I think you could see him go, 20-20, or 20 plus this year. And if he can make those adjustments and take that step forward, I mean, the 2020, I think he could stay like a top 100 type of guy with that. Just if he could take that step forward, produce like a, even like a 73 to 75% contact rate, that's not be anything super high, just solid enough contact skills. And we get that K rate under 20%, keep the walk rate above 10%, something in that range. I think you could see, a massive rise up rankings and top 10. Yes, that's very bold, but I wanted to go a little bit bolder this year.
Hey, I want it to be known. I love it. And I'm not picking at it at all because I think that's great. This is what this is for. And I think the Lola, you could easily and probably pay off here. You could say top 100 and Eduardo Beltre be a top 100 guy. It makes sense. The bold side is him translating over, lowering the strikeout rate, the power speed go. If he's what is he? 18 year old. If he's an 18 year old going 20-20 between rookie ball and high A, he probably does finish the year as like even a top 25 guy. So it's a very, very good. This is the truest sense of a bold prediction on the hitting side. Let's go to pitching. Your 2025 bold prediction for a starting pitcher, the name and how do we get there?
I'm going Ryan Sloan from the Seattle Mariners, top five pitching prospect at the end of the season. I think the Mariners are due to have a really good pitching prospect. I mean, they're very hitter heavy at the top of their prospect rankings, and Emerson and Fermelo and Lazaro Montes and all of them. So I think they're due to have a name jump up there, a pitching name jump up. And I'll go with Ryan Sloan, who was drafted this past summer. Really strong frame. Like, he's got the frame that you look for. I mean, and he's only 18 years old, 6'4", like 220, 225. It's very strong frame throughout. Great arm speed, three pitch mix, fastball, slider, changeup. Shows a great feel for his changeup already. And usually, these 18-year-old kids, they can just dominate, with the big fastball, with that premium velocity. As he was, mid-90s, touching, 98 in high school. Usually you can get by with that. And then, he had the really good slider as well. usually they don't need to go to the changeup too often because they're just dominating with those two pitches. But the fact that he already, you know, he has those two dominant pitches, fastball, slider, and the changeup is really good as well. He's got a great feel for it. You know, so he's got those three pitches that he can attack hitters with, that he can miss bats with, all three of them. You know, and then they're in three different velocity bands too. So, and three different movement profiles. So it's really tough to kind of lock in on Ryan Sloan. And I think he's going to be, you know, one of the better, you know, strikeout rate arms in the minor leagues this upcoming year. And I think he's going to have one that's going to, you know, maybe he's like this year's Sakura, where it's a low walk rate too, because he's shown, you know, a decent feel for just commanding his entire arsenal in general. I mean, he's not like a pinpoint guy by any means, but, you know, there's really no like massive red flags in terms of like, oh, there's, you know, the strike throwing is not there or the fastball command's not there. You know, he could, you know, obviously refine those, sure, but, you know, there's no massive red flags in those areas like you see with a lot of these, you know, younger prep arms. So, yeah, he has all the ingredients that I look for in a, you know, prediction like this. So I think if Sloan puts it all together this year and is his first full year in the minor leagues, you're going to be talking about him kind of where we're talking about, like a Travis Sakura these days, you know, as a one of the highest, you know, rising pitching prospects of the year. So, yeah, top 10 pitching or top five pitching prospects, excuse me, by the end of the year for Ryan Sloan of the Mariners.
I had just talked about him on a show and how, you know, getting to see him in camp, and he's just a big physical presence and kind of mature, you know, when you're already like.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
You know, hitting high 90s and commanding that fastball, and you're working that changeup, and you got three pitches. Like, stuff is going in the right direction. I think Sloan and Caminiti right now, they're they're like the pinnacle of sub 20-year-old pitchers. And I think from a rank basis, it's kind of tough this physical moment, because it's like, where are you as a rank, or no, I'm talking rhetorically to people as evaluation, where do you value young high school pitching or sub 20 pitching? Are you scared that they're going to have Tommy John? Do you think the sky's the limit because these guys really have the potential? I would say Caminiti thrown in there have the potential to be top five SPs. If you believe that and you're devoid of maybe some of the risk, those guys should probably be like top 75 overall prospects. If not, they could be a little bit further down because they are still so young and they've got to move levels and they have to be challenged. But I think if I'm betting on, and whether it's like a rebuild or whatever, and I'm betting on like two really young pitching prospects, Caminiti and Sloan, I think are like number one and number two. They're like right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I was, you know, I like both of them. You know, when I started, you know, formulating my, you know, FYPD rankings last year, I was very high on both of them from the get-go, but I was a bit higher on Caminiti. I'm still very high on both, but I've since kind of flip-flopped a little bit, and I do have Sloan a little bit ahead of my rankings. I have them both in the vicinity of top 100. I've been kind of, you know, more gun-shy to push them, you know, super high.
Yeah, but I don't have Sloan as a top 100. I'll tell you, I'm just, yeah. I was kind of beating around the bush. I don't have him as a top 100 right now because of some of that inherent risk, but I think there's a level of why it's deserved is what I was getting at.
Yeah, I think I have them both in like the 120 ish range right now, but you know, guys like Sakura, you know, I could definitely see, you know, both Sloan and Caminiti being, you know, top 50 overall, you know, yeah, top 5 to 10 pitching prospects, you know, by the end of the season for sure.
Bold predictions, my friend. Eric Cross, you're off the hot seat. Eric Cross, MILB, check him out on the tool shed and everything else going on, my friend. Thank you so much for joining and making this bold prediction show extra spicy. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
There you go. Thank you so much to all four of those fine gentlemen for taking the time out for me. Especially, it's weird. It's a good and a bad thing. I'm like, hey, I only need you for 10 to 14 or 15 minutes. Is that cool? But then also, it's like to set that time aside. All of these guys were super easy to deal with, as they always are. I'm just very lucky and very appreciative that people will take the time for me to do that. And I think you guys enjoyed that. And there's some big ones, from the number one overall prospect in Connor Griffin, potentially, to a couple top five starting pitchers that I don't think would be on a lot of people's radars. I'm going to add to it just a tiny bit here in just a second. Want to just throw out a couple things. I'm going to be streaming a little bit more
back into it. I think I haven't quite finalized what it is. I want to do at least one thing with Prospect One, probably looking like on Fridays. It might be Patreon only. But the big thing I want to tell you about is I'm doing a live stream on opening day from time, East Coast time, screw me up. I guess it would be 1 p.m. Eastern through 5 p.m. Eastern. It's like a 4-hour stream that I'm going to be on just talking baseball, answering questions. Couple things. I'll be on 2 hours before the games kick off, so I'm going to have like some bets. I'm also going to have some raffles where, you know, you can like, you know, $10, you get a spot, and then we'll spin the wheel. We have fun. I got a Jackson Chourio autographed jersey. I might do a Bobby Witt autographed bat. I got a couple other fun things. Just depends how much people want to do it. Just opening day festivities. So the first 2 hours will be literally just answering your question, talking about bets, doing those, and then the games are going to kick off, and I'm going to be hanging out. I'm going to have the games on my screens. You guys as well will be reacting. We'll be talking about any of the crazy stuff that's going on, maybe live betting. I'll be there for around 4 hours. And then I'm shipping off to downtown Phoenix for opening day with Cubs and the Diamondbacks, meeting up with Bogman and Jag. And it's going to be a great time. But hopefully you guys want to join me for the opening day stream. And then I'm going to finalize what I'm going to be doing throughout the year. Not going to do anything crazy that I can't then keep up with and then I fall apart on. But I want to do like maybe a Monday and a Friday, something like that. Maybe Friday is prospects and Monday is kind of a set the week, and it'll be on Twitch and YouTube. So twitch.tv/inthisleague, youtube.com/inthisleague. Follow me for all the stuff, but hopefully you guys want to hang out. For the live stream on opening day, I'll have YouTube as a Patreon only thing. And I'll kind of be like really honing in on questions from them. But it'll also be, if you're not part of Patreon, the Twitch, you know, you can come and hang out and do that as well. So just want to throw that all out there. And that similar thing will kind of go on in the season, especially being able to do like a prospect-based one. So we have 8 prospects in the books. Let's get to mine. A lot of choices out there. A lot of guys that, you know, I go through and I'm like, oh, I love this guy. I'm higher than on Feldman Selston than a lot of people. I felt like I've been higher than Cags. You go further down the list.